Now let's just tell you what. Let's just we should pray after any time I talk.
Probably.
So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Jill, come on up here. Don't sit down yet. Yeah, we're praying now.
Yeah.
Teach her that a little later on. That's your job as a husband.
Yes,
so, Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name for all that you're doing. God, we love you. We love your joy and spirit. We bless these guys. And we pray for increase and revival and souls to be saved and God, disciples to be made. And give them refreshing.
Yes,
and thank you, God, for the word he's going to bring to us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. So how long do I get? It's 10:55. So I'll have you out by 4 today. And you know, like Vic mentioned, Robin gave me permission to go as long as I wanted to today. And so, no, I'm just teasing. Thank you so much for that introduction and for that gift. And I have a word today that the Lord gave me to share with you guys, because what we try to do, what our mission and our vision is for Revive Ohio, is to equip the saints. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a saint of God. You're a saint of God. Right, and it's not because I said, or necessarily even that I know you, but the Bible says that we are kings and priests, right? And Paul called upon the saints of God. The believers in every city that he went, he called them saints of God. And so, is he a liar? I don't think he's a liar. So if he called you a saint of God, you must be a saint of God. If Jesus calls you a saint of God, then you must be a saint of God. Okay, part of what we're going to discover today is your identity. Part of what your identity is, and part of what you have in your midst, within you, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, it's up to you to believe it or not, but I want to try to unpack today the truth about what is in you, what is within you. So let me start this morning just with a simple question. I love to ask questions because I know when I come and I sit through a sermon, I want to be challenged. Like, I want to be better than I was before I came. I want to leave differently than when I came in. And only the presence of God can change me and make me better than I was when I walked in the door, right? And that's what I desire, and that's what I know about you guys. I know that you desire to be different, changed, blessed, than more so than when you came. So I want to ask you guys this, just to start with, right off the bat. How many of you in here sitting right now would say that you have a ministry? Would you raise your hand if you have a ministry? Okay, we have a few. That's good. So hold on to that thought just a moment, and we're going to unpack that in a little bit. But then let me ask you the next question, that is this. How many of you have a calling? How many of you have a calling, okay? What is a calling? Do you have a phone? How many of you have a phone? What do you do with it? You call, right? You reach out, right? You want some information. You want to relay some information. You want to get some information. Or in Pastor Vic's case, you just don't have anything better to do. So you put it to use. But what is a calling? It's an invitation to communicate. Think about that a minute. When your phone rings and it's Kurt on the phone, you just hit do not disturb. No, it is an invitation to communicate. What is a calling from God? It is an invitation to communicate. Think about that a second. Is it not? Is it not an invitation to communicate? If God has a calling on someone's life, he's urging you, he's inviting you to communicate. With who? He said in the very first commandment, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Does that mean that God is green? Somebody say no. Please. No, right? God is not green with jealousy. God is jealous of our time and attention. A calling is an invitation to communicate, to be with him, to commune. It's what we did this morning, commune with him. It doesn't mean that he called us to drink juice and eat a cracker. It means that he is a spirit and he's calling us to be one with him. Now let's unpack this. Let's look at what Jesus said. So if some of you that raised your hand say, yes, I have a calling of God on my life, then let me ask you this. What is God calling you to do? Right? So if I call you on the phone, I'm calling you to do something or ask you something or to tell you something. So if God has a calling on our life, what is he calling or asking us to do? Does anybody know what God's calling is on your life? Anybody know? Okay, let's unpack it, right? You don't have to know because I'm going to give you the answer. I'm the kind of teacher that I like to give the answers to, right? So if you would, how many of you have a Bible with you? Do you guys have Bibles? All right, praise the Lord. Go with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to look at what Jesus is calling. How many of you think Jesus had a calling on his life? About two of you. That's awesome. So we're going to teach the rest of you that Jesus did in fact have a calling on his life. John chapter 4. Right? This is the same story, the same passage, and you might think that this is out of context, but this is when Jesus encountered the woman at the well in John chapter 4. But all of a sudden, right in the middle of this, in verse 34, Jesus said to them, said to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus is saying, because his disciples came and they knew that he must have been hungry because they went into town to get food. So they came back and they're like, "Master, you want some food?" And he's saying, "My food, my job, my calling is to do the will of him who sent me. And I want you to hear this, finish his work." Who's he talking about? God's work. Jesus' calling was to finish God's work. Let me ask you guys this. I love asking questions. You'll get used to me, I promise. If not, you'll go to sleep. Amen, Grams? No. Okay, so here is a Bible trivia question. Now, Vic told me you guys are all pretty well Bible scholars in here. So this is a Bible trivia question. Where is Jesus right now? Where is Jesus right now? Right? Ephesians 1:20 says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Is that not true? Ephesians 1:20? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father? Why? Why is he seated at the right hand of the Father? Doesn't he know there is work to do? He just said it. He just said his food is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Now, is God's work done? It's not. Why not? Then why is he sitting down on the job? Think about this. I know these are hard questions you can't really ask in church, but I can because I'm a visitor. Right? But why is Jesus sitting down on the job? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Do you not believe that? And he said that my food is to do the will of the Father. Then why is he sitting down? Anybody know? Anybody know? Because he's given the calling now to us. And this sister right here said, Jesus is living in us. Right, he is. His spirit is living in us. What spirit? The Holy Spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is now living in us in order that we may now finish his work. I will submit to you today, you all have a calling on your life. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Do my do the will of my Father and finish my work. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. What he was called to do on earth was finished. And then he went and sat down. You know, God is the one who established the Sabbath to rest. He sat down as a symbol that his work on earth is finished. So let me ask you this crazy question. Why in the world, right after we get saved, don't we just immediately go to heaven? Why doesn't God just suck us up to heaven as soon as we say yes to the Lord? Because that is when our work begins. Do you see what I'm saying, guys? We all have a calling to finish his work. How many know I sound like a broken record? Kurt, thank you, brother. I can always count on Kurt to be honest with me. But are you following me on this? It is the calling that we've all had on our lives today. So the word that the Lord gave me as I prayed about this today, what do you want me to share? Lord, I want you to share about our calling. So I want us to all examine our hearts and our lives today. And what is God calling us to do? And I'll tell you this, I'll give you a sneak preview. We've all been called to do the same thing. Now, wait a minute. Don't we have school teachers in here? Don't we have factory workers in here? Don't we have pastors? Do we all really have the same calling? We actually do. And if you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 17. And by the way, that's right before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians? Vic, you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Thank you, Vic. All right, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. All right, it reads this. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. Just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches, Paul writes. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping God's commands is what counts. Just like Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father. Even so, it is our calling to do the work of his calling and to finish his work. It says this in verse 20, each person should remain in the situation that they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let that trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, please do so. How many know once you experience the freedom of the Lord, you don't want to go back? Anybody in here have an amen to that? Now, is this an amen church? Okay, all right. Maybe I have to pay for them. I don't know. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when is called is Christ's slave. We're Christ's slave. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father. Was he a slave? Was Jesus Christ a slave? Chew on that one for a second. Was Jesus Christ himself a slave? His food was to do the will of his Father. He was a bondservant. Anybody know what a bondservant is? A slave that is willing to be a slave, that chooses to be a slave. It says, you were bought at a price. do not become slaves of human beings, but brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Many times, as you can tell, in this passage of scripture, it talks about God's calling. God's calling. What has God called us to do? Well, that word in the Greek is klesis. Klesis, it means a call or an invitation to embrace the salvation of God. It's a calling of God. God is calling us to embrace his salvation. What does that mean? That means God is calling us to embrace us getting saved. But what is salvation? What does the word salvation mean? It means completely whole, right? Sozo, what is sozo? It means wholeness, completeness, right? What did Jesus pay for? What did he pay for? Anybody? Did he pay for our sins? Did he pay for our redemption? Did he pay for our healing? Did he pay for our wholeness? Like, what did he pay for? And what he's saying here, you need to embrace his salvation. You need to embrace everything that he paid for. How do you complete the work that Jesus started unless he give you the tools to complete it? Jesus has given us the tools to complete the work that he started. And he said in John chapter 12, greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Because I'm seated at the right hand. I'm sitting down when my work on the earth is completed. And now I'm calling you, brothers and sisters, to complete the work that I started. And he says, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you without the tools. I'm giving you my spirit. He's now going to live on the inside of you. To what? To embrace the fullness. Jesus said, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. That's the same spirit I'm going to give to you to complete the work that I've given you to do. But if you don't realize what you have, you're not going to walk in it. So today, what I want to challenge you with is you have a calling and you have the tools to complete the work that Jesus came. And he said, I came to seek and save the lost. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. As a pastor, this was the most frequently asked question of me ever. People would come to me all the time and say, Pastor, I just don't know what the will of God is for my life. I'm sure you never heard that before, Vic. I just need to know, will you please tell me what God's will is for my life? I will tell you. Here's the answer. Thank you. 2 Peter 3. 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. That ought to right there get an amen. I mean, how many of you are thankful that God is long-suffering toward us? I am. And he's not slack. But listen to what it says. He is not willing that any should perish. You want to know what the Lord's will is for your life? He wills that you don't perish. He actually wills that nobody perish. Nobody, but that everyone comes to repentance. Everyone. His will is that nobody perish, but everybody come to repentance. Well, if he is seated at the right hand of the Father, how are people going to know that his will is that none perish? He's calling us to let them know. God is calling you and I to let people know that he wills them not to perish. And he's given us his spirit. And he says this in John chapter 16. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What we're called to do is to be planters, sowers, or waterers. The scripture says that it is nothing for us to be a planter or a sower, but it is God who gives the increase. But he said that they become one, the planter and the waterer become one in Christ, and God gives the increase. So basically what I'm saying to you today is we all have a calling. We all have a calling that God is calling us and saying, complete the work that I started in the earth. Last time I checked, the earth is still turning, and people are still dying without Christ. And he's calling us to tell them to repent. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, please. And Vic, just so you know, that's right after Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. How many of you in here believe in Jesus? How many of you in here would say, I'm a disciple of Jesus? Okay? So you are a believer in Christ, you are a disciple of Christ, and what Jesus said to his disciples is, listen, I want to give you power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is that true? Okay. And did he not say in Malachi that I'm God and I change not? So God's will is that nobody perish, and God's will is that people get delivered from all kinds of sickness and disease and from all kinds of demonic activity. And he is seated where? At the right hand of the Father. And he says, behold, I give you that same power. What is your calling? It's the same calling as me, to tell people to repent and to get them delivered and healed and saved. That's what salvation is. He's saying, embrace my salvation. Embrace my invitation to walk in salvation. And what? Offer it to others. You know, it's true what I heard shared this morning already. You know, hey, I know how it is. I know people are in here. People are hurting. People are broken. People are disappointed. People are suffering. Yeah, even here today. Let me tell you by experience, you know how you can get over that? Walk in salvation and offer it to others. You know, I know many times when I'm in my cesspool of self-pity and I reach out to somebody else, here's what happens. The Spirit of God flows through me. Right? Jesus said to the woman at the well, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, right? And you'll never thirst again. And when them living waters begin to flow through me, it's not because of me, but it's because of the Holy Spirit in me. And when those rivers begin to flow, guess what? My problems begin to diminish. I want to challenge us today, those tools of salvation that have been given to us and offered to us, Peter said, freely I've given, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. That's what God is calling us to be. God is calling us to be a deliverer, a sharer of good news, a deliverer to all of those who are thirsty, all of those who are broken, all of those who are hungry. What's the best way for me to get over my sickness, my depression, my hunger? What's the best way for me to do it? Offer it to someone else. Offer what? The salvation, the wholeness, the completeness that God has given for me to walk in. And guess what? I will get blessed in return. Okay, so let's go down to Matthew 10 and pop down to verse 7. That's what I want us to get a hold of. And as you go, okay? That's how he starts. As you go. Can you say that with me? As you go. Now, that's assuming that we are going to go, right? Matthew 28, 19 says, go, therefore. And here's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. As you go, he's assuming that we're going to go. In order to complete the work that Jesus started, we have to. How many of you have sat at a stoplight before? How many of you have been sitting there waiting on the light to change and you get a little distracted and all of a sudden your spouse says something like, it's not going to get any greener. Maybe it's only me. How many of you have ever experienced that? it's green. And I think that's what's happening many times, especially when I talk to people about revival. And everybody says, now, if I ask the same question in here, how many of you have ever prayed for revival? Lord, send us revival. Have you ever prayed that before? About half of you. That ain't bad. But if you prayed for revival, what if the answer was, God's waiting on us to usher in revival? What more do we need to walk out revival? What other gifts, whatever tools, whatever salvation do we need that he hasn't already provided for? He sat down because his work was finished. What more do we need to walk out revival? He said, finish my work. He's waiting on the church. Church, the light's not going to get any greener. He's saying, go, go. The light's green. It's like bright green. Like he's sending us the message. And he says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why is the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Why is it? Because it's living on the inside of us. The kingdom of heaven is living within you because he's given us his spirit, just like the sister said. Where is Jesus? She said, right in here. The kingdom of heaven is within us. And he said, and as you go, as you walk about, wherever you are, I'm calling you to say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why is it at hand? Because it's in my hand. And it's in your little hands. And it's in your hands. The kingdom of heaven's in all of our hands. And he's saying, as you go, preach and tell everybody. Repent. My will is nobody perish. But that everybody come to repentance and walk this thing out and offer the same thing that we have received. Listen, it's not what we can muster up. It's what has already been provided. It's already been given. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10. Okay, everybody, do you believe that? Church, do we believe that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved? Do we believe that? Then all we have to do is urge people to call on the name of the Lord then, right? If you want to finish the work of Jesus, we need to get them to call upon the name of the Lord. And we know that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's God's will that they be saved. And if they call upon his name, they will be saved. So then how will that happen? How will men and women call upon the name of the Lord to be saved if we tell them to? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Okay. So then he says this in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Now, wait a minute, preacher. wait a minute, we can't really do that, can we? Well, my faith is not that strong. And Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a... But yet we say, wait a minute, heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead? Does not the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus up from the grave live in us? Is that not true? So why does that not happen? Because we don't believe. Let me ask you this Bible trivia question. Is it possible for man to limit God? Is it possible? Can we limit God? Think about this for a second. Can we limit God? Did the Bible say that Jesus could not do many miracles in his hometown? Well, wait a minute. Isn't he all-powerful? Isn't he omniscient? Isn't he all-knowing? Isn't he omnipresent? Well, then how in the world could mankind limit him? Because of unbelief. Why was Jesus not able to heal in his hometown? Because they considered him to be Joseph's son, right? Did they limit God? They absolutely did, right? Do we limit God and say, now, wait a minute, okay, heal the sick. Maybe occasionally God could use me to do that. Cleanse the lepers? I don't know. I don't know if there's any lepers today. Is there any lepers in our society today? Raise the dead. Well, wait a minute, preacher. Raise the dead. Can we limit God? I'll let us chew on that for a minute. And it says this, freely you have received. How many of you have received the salvation that God has offered us? Okay, so freely you have received. So he's saying, now I want you to freely give. We have a calling. We have a calling by God. Each and every one of us has a calling. If we have been freely given, that we are called by God. God is trying to communicate to us that I want you to freely give. I want you to finish, complete the work that God started through Jesus Christ. And he's saying, and I'm giving you the power to complete that work. And his name is the Holy Spirit. Finish this sentence for me. God the Father, God the Son, God the... I wonder why we're so afraid of God the Holy Spirit. I think it's because if you're a Pentecostal, you'll say he's the Holy Ghost. So that's scary, right? It's really sad. I go into churches all over Ohio, and I pick up hymnals in many churches, and hymns are all broken down by categories and all this, and I look at, here's hymns of the Father, and here's hymns of the Son, and then here's hymns of the Holy Spirit, two or three of them, right? And I think, are people afraid of him? Like, he is God the Holy Spirit. And so if you're not afraid of him, you might believe that he wants to use you to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out devils, and to raise the dead. But can we limit God in doing that in our lives and right before us? And as we saw in 1 Corinthians 7, he wants to do it wherever we are. Wherever we are, whatever vocation, wherever we are in the earth, however God has placed us, he wants us to do his will. Do the will of my Father and finish the work. Okay, I beat that dead horse into glue. Praise the Lord. I'm thinking you got this, though. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. verse 21. This is cool. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. God has chosen to save people through fools like me. Isn't that crazy? God has chosen that. And it says this, for God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save who believes. The Jews demand signs and the Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. That's the message. We preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called is who will preach. Who has God called? He's called all of us to preach. Here again, we see the same word that God has called us to preach, and he has chosen us as foolish enough to preach, to confound the wise. It says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, here's what Paul's saying. Think of what you were when you were called. Think of what you were when God called you. Think about the state you were in when you called upon the name of the Lord and God answered. And so he's saying today, will you answer me again? Will you take what was freely given to you and give it to others? That's the calling that God has given us today. Every single one of us has been given that calling. So back to what I shared earlier. How many of you in here have a calling on your life? If you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and as your Savior, then you have a calling on your life. That is to share that good news with others. And then I asked, how many of you in here have a ministry? All right? And only a few hands went up. Now, if I show you in the scripture that you have a ministry, will you believe it? How many of you believe the Bible in this house today? Okay, you guys believe this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. In closing the first time. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to start at verse 16. And this is what I want us to get a hold of. If you slept through the most of this so far, please awaken to this one. For from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone and the new is here. In verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So one more time, let me ask you, have you been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? Is that you? Does that fit you, the description of you? Does everybody know what reconciled means? Does everybody understand that? Reconciled means you were apart and now you're together. Okay? When you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So when we're apart from Christ, our previous state, we call on the Lord, now we're reconciled. We're put back together. That's what it says, okay? But I want you to listen to this. Again, verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave, anybody know that word? Us. What does us mean? Does us mean all y'all? If you're from the South, us means all y'all, right? He has given us the, what's that next word?
Ministry.
How many of you in here have a ministry? How many of you in here have been reconciled to God? How many of y'all belong to us? Then us has a ministry of reconciliation. Now let's look at the next verse. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Now that right there ought to draw at least an amen.
Amen.
And if you're from the South, you say an amen, right? And now listen to this. And he has committed to, what's that next word? Us. Is that us? Who's that mean? He has committed to us the ministry, the message of reconciliation. Now, he's only writing this to preachers, isn't he? Right? This is only for pastors, right? And prophets and teachers and the other ones, right? If you have been given the gift of reconciliation to God, then you have been given the ministry of reconciliation to others. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Does anybody know what an ambassador is? Anybody? What is that, brother? On behalf? Is that what you said? Like a representative? Like if you're in Christ, then you're his representative. And the scripture said, Paul writes, we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Let's finish out the verse. As though God were making his appeal through... Thank you, Kurt. Thank you for paying attention. I don't know why I brought you now. God was making his appeal through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What is the work that he's calling us to? Is to be an ambassador. Is to tell people to be reconciled to God. His will is that nobody perish, but all come to repentance, to the salvation that he's offering us through Christ. So if we're in Christ, we're called and we are given a ministry to tell people to be reconciled to God. Scripture says in Proverbs that he who wins souls is wise. How many of you want to be wise in God's eyes? All right, well, he's saying just be a minister of reconciliation. Be an ambassador. Be a face. You know, what is an ambassador? It's a face. Look at that, man. You're a face of God, brother.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. After all, he did say he's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Right, but think about that. It is funny, but the truth of it is God's saying, listen, you're created in my image to reflect the glory of God, to tell others to be reconciled to God. I'm gonna close the second time with this scripture. Romans 10:13-15. And this is the way God chose it to happen. This is not by my design. Trust me, I'm not that smart. This is how God chose to do this. Romans 10:13, for everyone, we talked about this verse, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How many of you ever met someone that's not believed in God? Have you ever met one? Well, then how do we get them to believe in that? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, After all, that's the pastor's job, isn't it? Who is an ambassador of God? All of us are, right? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Look at your neighbor and say, you have beautiful feet. You have beautiful feet. If you bring good news. How many of you want God to look at your feet and say, man, them are beautiful.
Amen.
Right? Thank you, Lord, for beautiful feet. He said, how beautiful the feet are those that bring good news. You know what that requires? Us to go. In order to have beautiful feet, you have to go. You have to take the message of reconciliation, of which you were called. You were gifted. You were given a ministry to. Do you know what the word ministry means? I love this. Right? Anybody know what the word ministry means? It means pastor, doesn't it? Does the word ministry mean pastor? I like that, huh? You know what the word minister means? Servant. Servant. How many of you have a ministry? How many of you have been called to serve Christ? You know what pleases God? Service. To finish the work that Jesus started. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father, to put my feet in front of the other, to go and serve. We have been given a service of reconciliation. And here's the cool thing. It's not what we muster up in ourselves to say. Grams, has God ever given you the words to say to someone else? It's not in our own human intellect. It's the Holy Spirit who supplies everything that you need to say, everything that you need to do, everything that you need to display. The Holy Spirit is waiting for us to go. And so this morning, what I want to do at the end of this is I want to offer a time for us to surrender to the will of Him who has sent us. Jesus has already commissioned us. You know what a commission is? It's a co-mission. He has commissioned us, He has sent us, and He has said, I want you to go with me. He said in Matthew 28 that I will be with you wherever you go on this mission. I'm sending you, but I'm going with you. And my Spirit is going to be with you to go. His Spirit, like his Spirit, His love casts out all fear. Many of us won't go because we're fearful. We're just fearful of what might happen. That's really, if you boil it all down, if you get it down to the soup bone is that we're just fearful of what man might do to us. And so this morning, I just want to offer prayer to all those that are wondering still and second guessing yourself. I believe what the Lord wants to do this morning is release us from fear. That's what I truly believe this morning. I believe the Lord wants to release us from that fear. His Spirit is enough. Was Christ's sacrifice sufficient for our salvation? Was it sufficient for us to be saved? Was it sufficient for us to be delivered? Was His sacrifice sufficient to be healed? Healed from what? James 5:19 says, are there any weak among you? You know, that week could be weak in spirit, weak in health, weak in mentality. You know, it could be weak in many, many areas. It says, let him call for the elders of the church. If there are any weak among you, and the prayer of faith shall raise you up. And this is what we do. This is what we do when we assemble ourselves together. So we confess our faults one to another so that you may pray, so that you may be healed. Because it's the same Spirit of God living on the inside of all of us. And we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. How does someone get reconciled back to God? By the Holy Spirit bringing that together. So this morning, if you desire prayer, I would be available to pray for you, to help you overcome. Jesus said, he who overcomes will I grant you all the keys to the kingdom. All the keys to the kingdom will be granted to you if you overcome. How do you overcome? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. But the first part of that is submitting yourselves to God. If you want to draw near to God, you got to take the first step. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So this morning, I just want to open up the altar. And I just want to say, if you want prayer for anything, then I would be more than happy to pray for you. And if not, pray for those who have a desire for that. So this morning, if that's you, I would just ask you to come and we'll pray together. Come and let's pray that we can be reconciled to God.
Let's stand.
Amen.
Is that a good word?
Yeah.
Well, listen, let's not miss this part. You know, let's get some prayer this morning. You know, when you're here, we're heading into a week where we're going to start at 7:30 in the morning all day long, and we're going to share the gospel on the streets throughout this city and county, because God is the God of this city. He's the God of this county.
He is.
And so when you say, God, here's my feet, you know, here I am, Lord, send me. That's the place. You just come up here for prayer. Say, God, I'm going to go this week.
Right.
I'm going to go. And the power of the Holy Spirit, when we pray for each other, he fills us. So come on up. We're going to, as we play this song, just come on up here. You can stand up here in the river, and these guys will pray for you guys. You get to work today, too. You just come on up here. You're going to pray for some folks here. Come on up. Let them pray for you. That's why we bring them in from all over the state, so don't miss the opportunity. Get some prayer. Go ahead and play that, Brody. Father, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we invite you.
Praise the Lord.
We invite you. God, as we go this week for revival, God, fill us up.